Acts 17. Acts 17, familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to learn about the Bereans tonight in Acts chapter 17. We're going to look at 10 through 15 tonight. So last week we saw Paul and Silas preach in the synagogue of Thessalonica for three consecutive Sabbath days. Some of the congregation believed, and some did not, and some started a riot and searched for Paul, but they couldn't find him. They dragged Paul's host out. His name was Jason. They dragged him out into the street, and they accused them of turning the world upside down. What a great accusation, isn't it? Of course, they meant it, not in a good way, but they had turned the world upside down. And we'll see that once again today, we're going to see once again that Paul is run out of town. Do you ever think, did Paul ever get discouraged? No? I think he did because he's human, you know, but you think he ever grew weary of running and hiding? You know, I guess we'll have to ask him one day, but you know. But these are questions to think about. So I'd like tonight for us to also consider a couple of things. But one thing for us to consider is, how do you handle discouragement? How do you handle discouragement? Life is filled with discouragement, isn't it? And how do you handle it? Just before we get into the text, there's an account here I'd like to tell you about William Carey. William Carey, he's the father of modern missions, and he faced ministry disappointments of overwhelming proportions. Buried wives, buried children on the mission field. He began his ministry in India in 1793. He labored for 41 continuous years there, never once returning to his native England. When he left, 41 years. He died there in India. Carey was a remarkable translator, translating the whole Bible into six Indian languages and portions of the scripture into over a dozen various dialects. One afternoon, after 20 years of difficult labor, a fire raged through the printing plant and warehouse. All his printing equipment was destroyed, but most tragically, many of his precious manuscripts were completely consumed by fire. No computer backups, no cloud. 20 years of work gone in a moment of hours. How did he respond to such crushing devastation? In a letter he wrote to a friend in England, he said, "Well, the ground must be labored over again, but we are not discouraged. We have all been supported under the affliction and preserved from discouragement." Can you imagine that? 20 years, all gone, you know, and but God was able to help them with their discouragement. So notice with me in verse 10 tonight, Acts 17, verse 10. Notice the arrival of Paul in Berea. The arrival of Paul in Berea. "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." So we see Paul's departure from Thessalonica. So Paul left at night. Obviously, he was hiding. Obviously, there was that big uproar where they drug Jason out, and he was let out. He escaped at night. And we see the precaution of the believers. The precaution of the believers. They helped him to leave town at night. But ultimately, who was the one that protected him? Ultimately, it was the Lord that protected him. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 13 with me. Hebrews 13. There is very good debate over who wrote the book of Hebrews. There's very good debate amongst your three pastors who wrote the book of Hebrews. And I am of the persuasion, the correct persuasion, that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. So chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me." I mean, in my mind, that has Paul written all over it. But either way, you know, even though Paul faced so much, violence against him and persecution against him, he knew the Lord would never forsake him, would never leave him. He knew that it was the Lord that upheld him. And he didn't fear what men could do to him because he knew the Lord was with him. So, you know, it takes a special man like that. Last night, I watched the account, Tortured for Christ. Wilmerbrand, anybody remember that? I think that's how you say his name. He was a Russian believer who spent 14 years in jail for preaching the gospel. Tortured every day for 14 years. How do people stand up to that? They know the Lord will never leave him or forsake him. And so we see number two, the plan of God. You know, this was the plan of God, though. We have to remember, go back to the Macedonian call. When, remember, Paul wanted to go farther east, but no, he was forbid. And he went west, and there stood a man by him, and he saw a vision, and he come unto Macedonia. So Paul and the team go west, and they bring the gospel to Macedonia, which is modern-day Europe. And Paul knew that the Lord had planned this. He knew that this was the plan of God. And humanly, Paul was sent away for his safety. But from God's perspective, he was sent to the next appointed place to preach the gospel. Turn to Romans chapter 5. After Acts is Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, but because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So again, tribulation works patience. If that's the case, Paul must have been a very patient man, right? Because he suffered a lot of persecution. And again, from God's perspective, he was sent to the next appointed place to preach the gospel. And we know Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So this was for his good. And a lot of times, friends, man's disappointments are often God's divine appointments. I don't know who said that. I can't give that person credit. But a lot of times a disappointment comes along, and from that disappointment, a divine appointment happens. Now, up until the uproar, Paul had a very successful, 2 to 3 week ministry going in Thessalonica. You know, people were getting saved. He's preaching in the synagogue. People are coming. You know, people are getting saved. There's a church started. You know, but he got run out of town again. Letter B, Paul's determination in Berea. Paul's determination in Berea. So it says that he left and he went unto Berea. And Paul's predictable routine. Paul had a very predictable routine. He went directly to the synagogue. Okay? If there was a synagogue in town, that's the first place Paul went to. We've already discussed this. They already know the scriptures. They know God. He doesn't have to lay a lot of groundwork. He can get right to the point of Jesus Christ being the Messiah and preaching the gospel. And friends, much success, if you will, much fruit in ministry, in any ministry endeavor, is simply in continuing on when others quit. Just continue on. We mentioned Kerry, you know, and the disappointments he had. Kerry, 41 years, and he went many of those years without seeing a single convert and had very few converts. But he continued on and continued on and continued on. And after he went to be with the Lord, you know, many, many of the Indian people came to know the Lord. So don't give up. Keep being predictable. And then Paul's predictable response. He preached the gospel. Paul went to the same place, the synagogue, and preached the same message. He preached the gospel. He preached the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and proved that from the Old Testament. But notice with me point number 2, verses 11 and 12, the attentiveness of the Bereans. The attentiveness of the Bereans. Verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, because of that, okay, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks and of men not a few. So they received the word of God. They received the word of God, and received here in the original language means they were eager. They were eager to hear it. They received it eagerly. And readiness means zeal and an inclination. And so, you know, there was a zeal and eagerness to hear the word of God. These people loved the word of God. And then we're told, letter B, they searched the word of God. They searched it. Search here means not just looking up a passage, not just getting their Strong's Concordance out, which I'm sure they had back then, and looking up a word, but they searched it. It means to examine. It means to judge. It means to investigate and inquire. They held the scriptures to be the ultimate authority. And they were comparing what Paul preached to what the Old Testament says. Isn't it interesting that nowhere does it say Paul told them not to do this? You know, if someone tells you not to search the scriptures, you know, don't listen to them. What are they trying to hide? I know my wife has shared her testimony here a couple of times, but my wife was raised Roman Catholic. She was a practicing Roman Catholic. And when she went off to college, she was not saved. And during her freshman year of college, the Lord began to work in her heart through some people on the campus and through an on-campus Bible study that a local church did. And so she was given a Bible and she was reading this Bible. And as she's reading the Bible, questions are coming up about her faith, Roman Catholicism. And she went to the priest out there in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, and she asked the priest, you know, she says, "Father, I'm reading this, but the Catholic Church says this. How can that be?" And the Catholic priest said to her, "You're not smart enough to read the Bible. You need us to interpret it. Stop reading the Bible." So she knew right away that they were trying to hide something. And not to brag about my wife, but she was a 4.0 biochem major at the time. So she knew she was smart enough to read the Bible. But the first thought that entered her mind is, what are you hiding? And through a series of events, just before Christmas of her freshman year, she trusted Christ as her Savior. But they were comparing what Paul preached in the Old Testament. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39. John 5:39. Jesus says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So what does the Old Testament preach about? teach about the Lord Jesus, the fact that he's the Messiah. And I'm sure that Paul used many scriptures, and the Bereans searched them. And as a result of this, verse 12, therefore, they believed the word of God. They received the word of God, they searched the word of God, and therefore they believed the word of God. And friends, this is what has to change people's hearts. Not you, not me, but the word of God. The Holy Spirit working in their life through the word of God. Therefore, they were saved by reading the word of God. What does Romans 10:17 say? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to get people into the word of God. Make sure Bible tracts that you use are saturated with the word of God. Number three, the adversaries of the message. You look at verses 13 to 15. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. So the adversaries of the message. The Jews heard that the word of God was preached. Isn't that interesting? I mean, they heard back, you know, back in Thessalonica that Paul was in Berea. Berea was 45 miles west of Thessalonica, and word had traveled. Hey, he's at it again. You know, maybe if it was negative people, or maybe people were saying, hey, you know, wonderful things are happening in Berea. People are getting saved. We found out that Jesus is the Messiah. So the Jews hated this. Think of the effort by the unbelieving Jews against Paul and the gospel. They leave Thessalonica and they come all the way out there and stir up the people there against Paul. Paul was hated by many people. And the Jews hindered the preaching of the word. They stirred up the people. And once again, Paul's fleeing town. And Silas and Timothy stay behind. And later, Paul calls for them. So what can we learn from all of this? You know, it may appear, friends, that Paul was defeated once again. And again, what does it take for us to get discouraged? Well, I'm going to give up. I mean, you know, we have been praying for Connors 2 years, you know. When do you give up? You don't give up. You just keep going. I'm sure some of you have been praying and talking to family members for multiple years. And, you know, what does it take for you to get discouraged? And again, it may seem that Paul was defeated. He had to leave. But friends, a church was planted. And Silas and Timothy stayed behind to help it get established and disciple the new believers for a short time. The Bereans had receptive hearts when it came to hearing the word of God. They listened, they searched, they believed, and they acted. You know, it's one thing to say amen to a message, but do you search out what is preached? It's one thing to believe a message, but do you act on it? Do you allow it to change your life? You know, here is something. Remember, we always say from the book of Acts, we try to find something that we can duplicate today. Here is something we can duplicate today from the book of Acts. We can be noble Bereans. You know, we can search the scriptures. We can listen carefully. We can search the scriptures and believe the scriptures. I hope and pray, friends, when you go home from any message or any time here, that you discuss these things, you look up those things, and hold us accountable. Make sure we're preaching the word of God. Search the scriptures. Because when you search the Scriptures, it'll change your life. It'll change your life for the better. And let's allow the Word of God to work in our lives. And let's act on that working as it works in our lives.